720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio on our Thanksgiving and holiday weekend and preview show. And during that show, we're talking about some great things that are happening for the holidays, talking about some businesses out there, especially on Black Friday, and some of those great personalities that make them work. And on the line, excited to have a former NFL player, longtime diverse business leader, and a founder of really the hottest spirit in the market today with El Bandido Yankee. It is the one and only Jim Bob Morris. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane. How are you, buddy? I'm happy to be with you.
Oh, it's great to have you on. There's a million things that we're going to have the opportunity to talk about, but I wanted to get into this as we get into Black Friday and business and holiday and things like that. Your latest business venture is one that when it comes to celebrating and when it comes to festivity is right on point with El Bandido Yankee. But let's talk a little bit about that. Just kind of the challenges of coming together, building a business. This doesn't happen overnight, but it's here for the holidays.
No, yeah, I appreciate it. You know, it's been a great experience. I mean, I developed it in conjunction with a couple buddies, and one of those buddies is Chris Chilios. I mean, nobody more famous in the NHL or played longer or won a championship at an older age than Chris did, and happy to be in partnership with him. Really excited about the fact that we just did our launch party in Chicago a few weeks ago, and it's been great. Having great support with our people at Breakthrough Distribution in Illinois. We're in 12 states today, and it has just been a rocking experience, man. I tell you, of all the things I've done, and we've done some pretty creative businesses over the years, this is certainly one of the most exciting and fun. You know, it gave us an opportunity to meet some great business owners and entrepreneurs themselves, as well as we've got some other celebrities that we have worked with and so forth. So,
well, you're providing fun to a lot of people, all those people celebrating with El Bandido Yankee, that slogan, break out the Bandido. It has been very big as well. So success for many years in a bunch of different businesses. What did you know about the spirits business going into it? Or were you one of those guys that just figures, hey, you know what? How hard could it be? We'll figure it out. We'll tackle it. Or what has been some of the challenges with it?
Well, you know, it's been a learning experience. I would tell you, I mean, we went into it. This was an idea that we crafted at 2:30 in the morning in December 22nd, 2019. And people go, okay, we can only imagine. So our experience about the spirits industries is, you know, our experience is drinking. And the fact that, you know, when Chris and I, we were out along with one of our friends, Big Tony, and we were celebrating the Christmas holiday, and we were having some competitors, tequila. And I have an ingredients company. We provide food ingredients to a bunch of the major food companies, Tyson, Cargill, JBS, Smithfield, Simmons, you name it. And I've got a relatively pretty decent palate from years of being in food science laboratories. And I could taste the adulteration of this competitor's product. And it was glycerin, and they put some caramel coloring in it. And I could pick up those traces of sweeteners that they added, and they were strong. And I just told Chris, man, I don't like this. And he goes, well, maybe we should do our own. And he was kind of challenging me. I go, well, let's do it. Now, let's also be fair here. I knew Chris had a great relationship with Rocky Wirtz and Danny Wirtz of Breakthrough Beverage Distribution. So I knew we had the distribution chain taken care of. At the time, I was buying about $20 to $30 million of agave syrup. And this was a period where sucrose and fructose was being taken off the label, and they were replacing it with various sweeteners. And agave syrup was one of the sweeteners. So I figured I had it in at the agave element. And I said, well, let's do it. And kind of the interesting part about it, I paused. I go, would you have a name for this? And he goes, you know, I do. And now after several years, he just admits to me the other day, he really didn't have a name for it. He just pulled it out of the air, basically. And so I said, well, what is it? He goes, did you ever see the movie Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid? And I go, I've seen it 1,000 times. I guess there's a line in there that, as they're stealing some money from the Bolivian bank and they're going across the hill, the Bolivian government's chasing them, and the colonel goes, El Bandido Yankees, you know, and that was the name. And I sat there and I looked at him, and it was another pregnant pause, and I go, all right, I can work with that. And I started drawing our iconic bandit that night. I was excited about it. I tell you, I got really excited about it. And I started making the calls, and, one thing led to the other, and we started piecing this together. I mean, I've got a lot of business experience in putting together businesses and companies, and we have an existing structure of administration help. And it's just been, I can tell you, it's been a really fun learning experience. We're a fast learner, and we kind of took the approach that we're going to do this on our own without bringing in a bunch of outside help. And here we are today since launch in August. And we're in a little over 4,000 locations around the United States. And like I said, we're in 12 states. Illinois was our first state, and Michigan. And now we're in, you know, Missouri and Colorado and California and Texas and Wisconsin, Arizona. It's just crazy.
It's kind of amazing. You think about it. For those listeners out there, let them know we're talking with Jim Bob Morris, the founder of El Bandito Yankee and so many other businesses, and on the diverse side too. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But it's got to be gratifying for those people that think, hey, they started this from scratch, kind of, right? But you had that background in flavors, in food, in administration. You had, you know, a lot of the things that you'd need in order to build a business. But still, it's got to be gratifying to think back to that date, 22nd of December, a couple years ago, right? You're drawing something, and now you see full-size trucks wrapped with the logo. That's got to be cool.
It is. It's gratifying. You know, I mean, we're going to see some trucks around the country that are wrapped now with El Bandito Yankee and our iconic Bandito on it. And that's really cool. I see it around town locally where I'm at in Bloomington, Illinois, and we're going to see it in Chicago, and we'll see it in other cities and states. But what's really the most gratifying is that, you know, we came up with the idea and the concept, and we spent about a year developing the palette of our tequila. It was really important to me and Chris and the rest of the people on the team. We wanted to create a high-quality tequila, you know, in the right way. We wanted to do it the old-school way, the methods through the brick oven, you know, only for agave plants. We wanted to use copper stills and really be handcrafted. It was really important for me and for Chris and the rest of us. You know, we wanted to be in the birthplace of tequila, and we wanted to completely attitude-free. And, you know, getting to that delicious point, you know, it's the smoothest tequila in the world. I can tell you, everybody who takes it and takes it in and experience the first time, their first reaction is, wow, that is smooth. Thus our tagline, so smooth, it's criminal.
It's great to make stuff. It's great to be a success. It's great to make some dollars, but it's also great to make a product that you're really proud of. And you guys get a lot of the attention for sure. And on the business side, a lot of appropriate credit for it as well. But here on the diversity in the business side, we wanted to touch on this. And with the other businesses, with Morris Packaging and some of the other things that you do, you get a lot of that attention, but you're creating jobs, employing people, you're doing all those kind of things, and oftentimes it's on the diverse side. So here at WGN, we created the first podcast for the Chicago MSDC, and your businesses, even though it may not necessarily be the front headline for everything, but you're part of that group too. Talk a little bit about the value of that, just the experience and the relationship.
Yeah, you know, all of our companies are MBEs, minority business enterprises. My family is Native American. My dad was raised on the Tahlequah Indian Reservation, and so, you know, I certainly understand the diversity issues and cultural issues and some of the complexities that go around there and some of the inequities that people deal with. But, you know, it was important when we started this development with the Minority Business Development Council is that, you know, I didn't recognize that I was part of the lucky gene pool when I was on welfare. You know, I grew up poor. My dad, you know, he was raised on the reservation. And, you know, there's some problems. There's some health issues on reservations. And unfortunately, we've got some heavy dependence in regards to alcohol. And he was an alcoholic and we ended up having a divorce. And, you know, like I said, we were raised on welfare poor. And I didn't realize there was any benefit to this as a kid growing up, you know. And then as I got older, and it was demonstrated to me that, you know, there was an avenue here. Somebody had bridged it to me. And so we got involved with it, and we started developing our companies. And like I said, we work with some of the largest business conglomerates in the world today. I mean, talking multi-billion dollar entities, some of the world's largest, like, you know, Cargill, Walmart, Costco, Target, you name it. We do business with these folks around the country. And it's great for me. I mean, we've created, we've got 1,000 people working for us today underneath our corporate umbrellas. And then wow. That, in a sense, has created 10,000 other jobs of indirect people, labor force, and so forth. So I'm really happy about, you know, what we've done for families and to help people that want to work, and via our brands, whether it be Bel Bandito Yankee or Morse Packaging or Heartland Supply, or we've got Sonic Restaurants, you know, go down the list, Morse Family Farms, you know, the Morse Aviation, Roar Aviation, Roar Foods. And we, down the line, I've had a lot of fun developing all of them. I'm hoping that in the next couple of years, we'll push through the 1 billion barrier in regards to corporate sales, corporate values. And it's just kind of it's just a mark out there, I guess. It's how I kind of keep score. I think creating $100 million companies is one thing, but when you get to a billion, that's another level.
You mentioned, Jim Bob, that, you know, sort of the affiliated either success or participation from the companies that are out there. And on a day like today, which is National Native American Heritage Day, and the listeners will notice we've had a few other inspirational and prominent figures from that community that you may not know that is necessarily their background. So talk a little bit about that on a day like today, where you can share not only the success that you've had, whether it's on the playing field or in the business or in the bar, right? And with some of the cool and exciting things that happened with El Bandito Yankee, but on a day like today, where you can share and be an inspiration in a bunch of different ways for young kids coming up that maybe didn't know that this is, you know, this is where you come from.
Yeah, that's cool. The Native American Heritage Day, I think it's a great thing. President Bush basically put it into play for us, but you know, the understanding of Native Americans, I mean, the first Americans. And I think the intent of the bill in making the National American Heritage Day was, you know, so the people of today and the students of today, the elementary level and high school level, could understand the backgrounds of the first Americans, the, you know, Native American history, and learn of the not only the history, but the achievements and contributions that the first Native Americans have made to the United States. There's some great examples out there in some of the books that are out there in the public school system and so forth. But I think, you know, I understand I'm a visible example and there's others. But from my perspective, you know, I'm very proud of Native American heritage. I'm proud of what we've accomplished. And I think I'm a bit of a gleaming hope that, you know, you can accomplish whatever you want to as yep. long as you really have the desire. I tell people, you know, first of all, I mean, you know, you got to have the desire, and then you got to have the work ethic. I mean, the only way I know how to be successful, you know, is, hey, you just got to outwork everybody. You got to, you know, and my football career, I tell everybody, I go, I wasn't so successful in the football career. I certainly had some talent, or you wouldn't have made it to the pros. But, you know, I got hurt, I got injured, and those are hard things to work through. And so you have to have a lot of perseverance, especially when that day comes and says, hey, man, you're no longer wanted on the football field. Those are hard things for especially athletes to, you know, and we have such a level of, in the NFL, for example, I think the numbers are, it's 64% of our NFL brothers that, you know, after their careers are over, you know, 64% file bankruptcy within 4 years of leaving the league. Wow. I think that's just an atrocious figure, and I'm disappointed in it. I think the NFL should be disappointed in it, but I think that, you know, when I look at it, I look at me, for example, you know, moving on from football, okay, and the average career is only 4 years. So you've got to have that next level of where you want to go, and you've got to have some desire to get there. And I was just blessed with some of the things that there were people along the way that assisted me and helped me. And like I said, I'm always using the term bridges, but they created bridges of opportunity to go from this part of my life to the next level, or the next part of my life, or the next equation, or the next journey. And it's been a hell of a ride.
Passion and perseverance, but also that inspirational side too. You mentioned people helping you along the way, and that you wouldn't be where you are today in a bunch of different areas without people helping and, you know, bringing you to that level. And so let's talk a little bit about the giving back part. It's one of the things that you're done and your connections to Kansas and K-State and all that kind of stuff. And so let's talk about the Morris Family Multicultural Center that you had, just the desire for it. Number one, to put it back in the alma mater, right? So that students like you were, can experience that presence and have that opportunity to get a little exposure and some opportunity, maybe some inspiration, right, to things they can do.
Yeah, you know, we put the Multicultural Student Center, the Morse Family Multicultural Student Center together. And in fact, we just celebrated its one-year anniversary. And I was very proud of it. The president, the athletic director, and the Kansas State Foundation folks got with me. And they wanted to know if I would be interested in putting some money in this to support this. And I got behind it. I wanted to create a center that was for everyone, that was for, you know, all races, all creeds, all cultures, all walks of life. It was something I felt strong about, you know, creating a place where people could, you know, have a learned experience and learn from all these various different cultures from around the globe. Is that one of my major thoughts from a business perspective is I think from our corporate standpoints, we're a much richer company when we have multicultural and diversity blends within the entire corporate structure. I think it makes us a richer company. It makes us a more profitable company. It makes us a much more aware company. And so, you know, I pretty much put my money where my mouth is. This center was something for all students, and they've been asking for it for decades. And so what was unique about the Morse Family Multicultural Center is that we're one of the only freestanding cultural centers in the country. So after the success of what we did at Kansas State, you know, we've got other thoughts of developing more of these particular centers around the country, and we're exploring opportunities at other locations right now. So I'm really happy about this deal is that, you know, we provide a place where I think that the students enjoying it today, we're, again, providing that bridge where they can get over some of the major hurdles in life and allow these kids to be successful. From my personal experience doing my own life, I know that you've got to have somebody along the way, you know, to help guide you and help push you a little bit and get you across those bridges. And this is my effort.
And just as an example of what is possible too, and Jim Bob Morris is one of those things, obviously on the success side, but also equal parts fun. And so this last week you had some of the leaders of those different groups within the student body that represent those diverse organizations or different areas, demographics, whatever it may be, and you had them out to the suite for the game. So what was it like, right? Because you're bringing them into your world, which is, you know, all of the educational success and that connection to K-State, but also the fun side of it, right? And they get to see, like, in front of them, the physical embodiment of what can happen.
It was great. I mean, the students talked about some of their activities, having meetings, doing their programming, hanging out. You know, you go in there on any given day and you might have a dance class. You might have a language element. You might have, you know, we've got a full top-notch kitchen in there. You might have different food being prepared from all over the world. I can't overstate how this center has and provided these students a real sense of belonging. And it was great. I thought it was going to be really important for Kansas State in particular for recruiting, you know, for recruiting general students as well as for recruiting, you know, international student athletes. And so it was really fun hanging out with the young students and listening to about how much they enjoyed it and some of the questions that they posed to me and, you know, giving them a little bit of their life lesson back to me and exchanging some of my life lessons. I really enjoyed the time with them. We're going to do more of it.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine they got a lot out of it, but I can imagine also, too, it's one of those things, maybe not quite, you know, drawing the logo for El Bandito, maybe even bigger, right? You see just sort of that impact that you can have, and it's got to be great. A lot of success in a bunch of different ways, and it's nice to be able to look back, especially in a Thanksgiving weekend, be able to look back, be thankful for some of those ways that you've not only benefited, but, of course, helped everybody sort of benefit from the things that you're in and all about. So, Jim Bob, as we let you go, we'll have links up at WGNradio.com. for the center at K-State. We'll have links up for El Bandito Yankee. And as we let you go, as we get through the holidays, how are you going to celebrate? Are there any special ways now that El Bandito Yankee is available that you're going to maybe do things a little bit different as we head towards New Year's?
Well, you know, first of all, I think it's a great time for us in regards to from a spirit side. I mean, this is when friends and family, everybody gets together and starts doing their things. Is that I wanted to make sure that I relayed, you know, boy, it's been a trying year, my man. And so there's a lot of issues out there that people are still working through and trying to get past. But I wanted to say, you know, I'm really thankful for family and so many blessings that I get from my kids. I mean, despite the fact that they're crabby, demanding, and annoying, man, I mean, they're wacky, they're funny, and a little bit crazy clan here. But, you know, that and friends, and good friends and friendship, I mean, they mean the world to you. I mean, without some of my friends, I really doubt that some of my business endeavors would have come to fruition. I think sometimes friends are almost equally as important as your family, because you pick them, you know. And I had a lot of friends that were very supportive of some of the things that I want to do. I mean, whether it's, hey, I'm going to start a spirits company, or hey, I'm going to start Wanna.com, a gaming company. And you know, I mean, family might go, what? And friends go, yeah, that's cool, let's do it. But yeah. I wanted to say, you know, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all of my personal success. I got to tell you too, Dang, I'm thankful for living in a great nation. I think that a life of freedom and the ability to believe in your own faith, I think that's incredibly important to all of us. And it's one more year of connections that, I mean, despite all of the issues that we had, it's still another year of some connections that we made with new people. And that was a great experience. And I'm thankful for having my health back. I mean, for everybody out there, you know, I had COVID, and then I got COVID long haulers, and I was disabled by the COVID long haulers. It affected my vestibular nerve, and I was down and out for about 8 months of COVID struggles. So, you know, I'm really happy to be back healthy and for the health of all of my friends and family and people close to around me, even sober. But, you know, to your question, hey, I'm happy for football. I'm happy for TV. And I'm happy for the fact that, hey, it's a relaxing time, and there's no better time than to relax and have a glass of El Bandito cake. How's that wrapping it up?
Oh, so much to be thankful for, so much to look back and be thankful for, so much to look forward to, and so many things to celebrate. And of course, as you mentioned, always have that glass filled with El Bandito Yankee. So Jim Bob, we'll let you get back to it. Can't thank you enough for all that you're doing in all those different ways, and I know your friends and family are thankful for you as well. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
You know, buddy, I love you, Dane. I'll tell you what, man, have a great Thanksgiving yourself, and great holidays coming forward, and I'll talk to you soon.